You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
West side!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. And this week, I am not joined by my partner in crime, the one and only Marcus Vandenberg, because Marcus is currently in the middle of the ocean on a boat with his lovely wife, and we wish them the best on their honeymoon. So that left me with a decision, people. I could have either done the show solo, which I've done a couple times before. I could have called in a guest host. I could have, you know, just decided to just do a royal rant. And I'm like, you know what? I think the Kings of Sport is like any good basketball team. We got a good deep bench. And I'm like, I got people I can call off the bench to come in and pinch hit. I know I mixed my sports metaphors there, but you see where I'm going. So you can hear the giggle in the background. I decided to call a friend of the program that has not been on the show in a while. It's been too long, and we decided to bring him back. He is a friend of the program, like I mentioned. He's a fellow podcaster. He's a very knowledgeable sports fan, and he's an all-around good guy. And I think the main reason I brought him in is because some damn fool accused him of being the best. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Dennis, Black and Asian, what is going on, my brother?
Well, well, well. It's good to be back. It's good to come off that bench and pinch hit.
Yeah, you've been on the bench for a while. Like you yeah, really.
Well, I've been playing on another team. You know, I had to sign, you know, I have a main contract, but then I signed a 10-day contract with you, so here we go.
Like you were logging like who's the guy that used to be on the Bulls bench that basically was just there to high five Dennis Rodman? Was that Jack Haley?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it's Jack Haley. He was basically Dennis Rodman's babysitter during that last Bulls run, and all he did was high five Dennis Rodman and pick up championship rings.
Help him get on the bicycle, the stationary bike.
Yeah. But it's been a while since we've talked, brother. So I think before we get into some sports, the listeners want to know, what have Dennis Black and Asian been up to?
Fatherhood, mainly.
Yes.
Since the last time I've been on here, the wife and I had our first child.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Baby Black and Asian.
Yes.
And for the people that don't know, like, why am I calling this man Black and Asian? Like, his government is Dennis Frazier, which is like super black.
Yeah.
But
not like Down Goes Frazier.
No, not like Down Goes Frazier. But he is black and he is Asian.
Yes.
Therefore, we call him Dennis Black and Asian. If you listen to the Mike and Bob show, a great show down here in Hampton Roads back in the day, you know this man. He needs no introduction. But for those of you that are new to the program, you know,
the uninitiated.
Right. Like, yeah, you must be new or something. Because this man, Dennis Black and Asian, knows his stuff, and I think that, you know, you like a lot of different sports, Dennis. You like baseball, football, basketball, even soccer, which we may or may not get into in this opening segment. But
high-lie.
Competitive dodgeball.
Yeah.
slam ball. Remember slam ball?
No, what's slam ball?
Remember the basketball that was like the indoor basketball with the trampolines?
Oh, yeah.
Slam ball. Like, I remember when that was a thing. And I think Aaron Andrews was like a sideline reporter for
Slam Ball. That makes sense.
This week it's the Jammers versus the Hoopsters. But I think we'll start with baseball, because anybody that knows Dennis knows he's a huge Mets fan. He is a member of our fantasy baseball league, the Aaron O'Neill League, that you can sign up for each and every baseball season. Obviously, the registration is closed now, but Dennis not only is a participant in the league, but he is a former champion of the Kings of Sport Fantasy Baseball League.
Former and future.
Uh-oh. calling his shot already.
I don't know when. Maybe not this year. Maybe not next year.
Sometime in the infinite. You know, future is infinite.
It is.
It's indefinite, if you will.
It's unfolding before us. And as it unfolds, there will be another championship from et cetera, et cetera.
Well, speaking of those Mets, Dennis and I, we have a lot of playful banter back and forth, because you guys know I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, and Dennis is a fan of the Mets, and we play in the same division, and we play head-to-head frequently, and Dennis wanted to come on and talk some baseball, so I'm being a courteous host, and I'm allowing him to come on and talk some baseball.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to do so, especially after recent results.
Hey, I mean, you know, the Mets, they're surprising right now. Right now, currently 13-3, leading the division. The Braves, right behind them, though, 8-7. And it seems like only yesterday when the Braves were like 8-2.
Yeah. And yeah. I think we gave you guys your first loss of the season, but you guys are flying high. And the first series we played against Atlanta, like, because the Mets have lost 3 games this year, and 2 of those were to Atlanta.
Like, so, I went to Twitter after the first week and a half of the season, and I sent a tweet to both Dennis and Bobby Fresh, Bob France, friend of the program, saying, was it too soon to celebrate?
And your question has been answered.
I don't even remember the video I put on there. Like, it was some video I had attached to it, but it was some celebratory music about
it was
the
Missy.
We run this, yeah. From the great motion picture Stick It. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I was feeling very good about being a Braves fan at the time, because I was not expecting a whole lot from the Braves, and apparently they're finally settling back to the norm, because in the offseason they got rid of a lot of good players, some underachieving. I think Kimber was probably the biggest blow. Like, the biggest what-the-hell-are-you-doing move.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, the Orioles are off to a slow start. The less that is said about the AL West, the better. Like, when the Astros are leading the division. I don't care if it's only 2 or 3 weeks into the season, Dennis. Yeah. Astros should never be leading your division.
They shouldn't be leading after the first 2 or 3 innings of the season. I mean, they are historically bad.
Have you adjusted to the Astros being an American League team now, or do you not care like most of America?
I don't really care. I mean, because, you know, it's like when the Brewers moved over, it wasn't really a big deal. It's not like, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers, you know, change, because that would be huge. But it's just another, I mean, at some point they were an expansion franchise, you know what I mean? And so it's not really a big deal. They don't have a big, long history in any, you know, either league. So
yeah, I think the last time I cared about the Astros was when I played RBI baseball, because you actually got to play in the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Like, that's you're talking like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So not a lot to care about with the Astros. But there is a lot to care about, Brother Dennis, when it comes to the National Basketball Association. The playoffs are in full swing, and last week Marcus and I talked about how bad a lot of these series in the East are, and I cannot believe the Wizards are up on the Toronto Raptors. Like, it makes no sense to me. And you talk about A-Rod finding the fountain of youth. I don't know what's gotten into old man Paul Pierce, but
he's home. He's back home in the playoffs. That's what it is.
He's cranky. He's calling out. He's taking shots at his old teammates, and he's hitting shots on the court. So it's like the Wizards are surprising, and I'm still hoping for a Wizards-Atlanta second-round matchup, because that would be the blackest playoff matchup in the history of the NBA.
They might change their name back to the Washington and bullets for that.
Gilbert Arenas will come out with the ceremonial first.
Yeah, Agent Zero.
Gilbert Arenas.
He was never a bullet, was he? They changed it before then, didn't they?
Yeah, they changed it. They changed
it. It was before Jordan came.
Yeah, because it was Jordan was a wizard, but because they've been talking about changing the name to, you know, the something better than the Wizards. I think the Monuments was one of the names that the Washington Post brought up. But yeah, somebody was like, "Let's bring back the Bullets," and they're like, "Well, there's a lot of reasons we can't bring back the Bullets. Namely, one of our players was in the locker room with guns." So, but I think the more interesting series are all happening out west, Dennis. In particular, the Clippers, the real team in L.A., no offense to your Lakers, the Clippers and the Spurs. Like, I think this is a very interesting matchup. What has been your impression on this series through the first couple of games?
Well, I think, you know, after the first game, I think everybody was saying, oh, well, yeah, it's over for the Spurs because they're a bunch of old guys and, you know, rejects or whatever. But the Spurs are the Spurs, and Coach Pop is Coach Pop, and they just find a way to grind these series out, which if I was a Clippers fan, I'd be really worried. Like, the Clippers really needed to win that second game and kind of, you know, put a stranglehold on their advantage in the series. But now that the Spurs have taken even up the series, heading down to San Antonio, I think the Clippers are in trouble.
I do too. The only concern I have for the Spurs is health. Like, if Tony Parker's not right, that's a huge blow for the Spurs. You know, because Patty Mills is a great backup, but if you're running out there with Patty Mills as your starting point guard, you got some issues.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Kawhi Leonard, I mean, I think Kawhi Leonard is better than most people think he is, and a lot of people think he's really good, and he's just. He can do a lot of things and cause a lot of damage. And I think over these last, you know, few games of this series, I think he's going to be the X factor, not really an X factor, but the factor that's going to be the difference in the series. If he can step up and kind of dominate like he's able to, then the Clippers are definitely going to be in trouble.
Yeah, in terms of the other series in the West, really the Clippers-Spurs series is the only one that is close at the moment. At the time of this recording, all the other series are up 2-0. Golden State over New Orleans.
And I'm kind of disappointed with the Blazers. I was kind of hoping that, or kind of thinking they might be better than how they're performing.
I picked Memphis to win the series just because I think Memphis is a better team, but I am surprised that they've won two straight so far. The other series, Houston over Dallas, and I don't think that's a big story. The bigger story, Brother Dennis, is that Rajon Rondo is out for the remainder of the playoffs, however long that is for the Mavericks, with back problems. And I think the real problem is that Rick Carlisle doesn't want him back.
Yeah. That's the back that's a problem.
Exactly. So what do you make of this whole controversy, quote unquote?
I want to be surprised, you know, if that plays a role in it. I'm sure he's got some kind of nagging injury, because that would just be really, you know, the word would eventually get out if they made up a fake injury for him to not play. But
you're gonna make up a fake injury,
they're not gonna rush him back.
Yeah, but if you're gonna make a fake injury, why not just go all out Fred Sanford? Like, have Rajon in the middle of the court. Oh, Elizabeth, it's the big one coming to join you. One more story about the Western Conference before we flip over to the East. Big news today, breaking news. There is now a coaching vacancy on a team that potentially could be a title contender next year, Brother Dennis.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City has shown Scott Brooks the door, and let's say they have a healthy Durant and Westbrook, and they've got Ibaka locked in. That's a team that really should be in the playoffs this year, and I think could make some noise next year. The candidates thus far that are being reported by the media are Billy Donovan and Kevin Ollie. Do you think either of those guys would make a good choice for the Thunder, or do you see somebody else being able to take what is potentially, like the Steve Kerr job at Golden State last year? That was a sweet job. I think this is probably an even better opening than that one.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of like when things like this happen, because Scotty Brooks, he hasn't been unsuccessful at Oklahoma City. I mean, they made it to the finals, yeah. And this is basically the one blip on his record, and he was instantly fired. So it kind of makes you think they've been eyeing somebody for a while, and they were just looking for an excuse to get rid of him. Maybe they were hoping that he would get an opportunity somewhere else, and he would just leave, because it would be really hard to fire him if he's constantly making the playoffs and advancing to, you know, further rounds, because that generates revenue for the team. But, you know, having one unsuccessful season, it seems like they were glad that they didn't make the playoffs so they could jettison him and bring in somebody else that they want. So, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. And so I think Billy Donovan is probably the person that they want for that position. And they're probably, you know, jumping for joy that they didn't make the playoffs so that they could go out there and get him.
You talk about Scott Brooks, and they maybe were just looking for an excuse to fire him. I think that's part of it. But I also think that there's something called, and I'll be the first to coin it. You can give me credit if you give me credit. I call it, you know, the Tony Dungy effect. Essentially, with Tony Dungy, when you look at that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that won the Super Bowl, Tony Dungy had come in and revitalized that team and built them and constructed them to a point where they were perennial contenders. But for whatever reason, Tony Dungy couldn't get over the hump. Then the next thing you know, they bring in John Gruden, a new voice, a new attitude, you know, because players get tired of hearing the same speeches over and over and over. And the next thing you know, they win the Super Bowl. And I think it might be a similar case here where Scott Brooks is not a bad coach, but after so many years of getting close, and then, you know, you see them each year since they went to the finals, they've never gotten that close since. They've progressively gotten worse. You know, not terrible, but they've progressively gotten worse. And I think that they're like, okay, we can get a new fresh voice in here. That might be all we need to take this over the hump. And it might be what we need to keep Kevin Durant here when he becomes a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, you know, obviously it probably had a lot of input from him as far as what they were going to do with the coach. So I wouldn't be surprised if he said, hey, you know what, I like Coach Donovan, and it'd be great if you could get him in here. And then they just went out and went ahead and made that happen.
And then next thing you know, he's going to be looking at Coach Donovan like, you the real MVP?
Exactly.
Oh, well, let's switch over to the Eastern Conference real quick. And not a whole lot going on, man. Like, all these series have been pretty bad. I think the most interesting series is probably Toronto and Washington, just because I thought Toronto would be doing a whole lot better. But anything in the East catching your eye?
Not really. I mean, it's the East. And like I said, I'm just watching the Cavs because I want to see how our future player is going to do.
I don't even know what you're referencing, Dennis.
Going back to Cali. Cali.
Yeah, man, Cleveland looks really good. And granted, they're playing Boston, but I think that unless Derrick Rose continues to play at this rate and continues to stay healthy, I don't see anybody really challenging them. I mean, I like Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think that's going to be it for them this year.
It's hard to make it really far with a no-name team, you know? Like, it's easy to be successful, especially in a regular season, with a bunch of guys who are role players, essentially, because they don't have any star players.
Yeah.
You know, it's all guys who could fit in on any team in the NBA. You know, they could basically just step onto the floor for anybody tomorrow and be a contributing player because they're that kind of player. But, you know, it's very difficult to get over the hump with that kind of a roster.
I mean, essentially, the Hawks are like that Detroit Pistons team that won the title against the Lakers. I know I'm bringing up bad memories for you, Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis is any.
I know, man. Chauncey Billups was pretty. He was pretty good back then.
Chauncey was good, but he wasn't like. I think you can make the case that whatever level of stardom Al Horford is at, that's where Chauncey Billups was at that point in his career. Al Horford's been an all-star. Al Horford is a good player, and we saw how much him being out hurt the Hawks last year. But it's like they've got good players, Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Millsap, but there's nobody that stands out and you're like, oh, that guy's a star. But I think as a team, as a unit, they're probably playing, other than Golden State, the best basketball in the NBA. Now, in the finals or in the playoffs, that's where team basketball, 9 times out of 10, will fall to the better talent, the bigger stars. Every now and then you'll get that anomaly like the Pistons or that year when Denver shocked Seattle in the first round. But right. for the most part, you know, talent wins out, and that's why I think we're going to end up with a final featuring Cleveland and either Golden State or San Antonio.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
And another ring for LeBron. Like, how good is it to be LeBron James right now? Like,
I wouldn't be sizing up that ring just yet. Because honestly, Golden State is tough. I think Golden State could beat them. I think the Spurs can beat them.
We know the Spurs can beat them. Golden State, though, is a different story. I think Golden State is the better team. Yeah. But I think that we haven't seen them at that stage yet.
I think, like, with LeBron, he can break open a game. Him and Kyrie Irving and those guys, they can play at any kind of speed, right? And a lot of times they can make the game speed up past what a team is comfortable playing. But you're not going to do that with Golden State because they like to play fast. You know, they have a bunch of young guys. They like running up and down the floor. They have good shooters. And, you know, it just seems like that would be a really dangerous opponent for any team to face, but, you know, even the Cavaliers. Whereas the Spurs are the exact opposite. They're going to slow the game down on you to where you're not comfortable anymore, and it's the speed that they want to play. And so it's hard to dictate the pace on them, which is going to be a challenge for the Warriors to get past them.
Yeah, see, I think San Antonio, you know, all things being equal, I think San Antonio would beat Cleveland and beat Cleveland rather handily. But Golden State, to me, is a different story because, A, the experience factor, but, B, I think it's very even. Like, you've got LeBron James, arguably the best player in the world. Steph Curry, arguably the best player in the NBA this year. You've got two head coaches that are pretty unproven, even though David Blatt will tell you at the drop of a hat that he's won championships overseas. But, like, this is America, Jack. We don't give a damn about your Euro titles. But, like, that's my favorite thing about David Blatt. When everybody's like, so, David, this must be a new experience for you. Well, you know, I've coached for years overseas. This isn't my first time at a stage this large. Like, I love that he has to be – he's the only guy that's, like, sticking up for himself. And in a way, while it's annoying, I respect that. Because it's like, hey,
that would be like when Calipari went to the NBA and, like, saying, oh, well, I mean, you know, I was pretty successful, so it's really not that big a deal. And we saw how that turned out for him. So
yeah, we did. But I think I would love this. I would love it if it ends up being Cleveland Golden State because I think that would just be a fun series. I think every game you would see, you know, we'd see how good
the ratings would be through the roof. Yeah, that's for sure.
We'd see how good Steve Kerr. Like, a lot of people are praising Steve Kerr, and I give Steve Kerr credit because he's done a great job with this team. He's helped them pick up the pace offensively. But I think a lot of credit should go to his assistants. You know, he's got people on his bench that people don't focus on. Like, his assistant coaches have been head coaches. Alvin Gentry, one of them. And so it's like, I like this Golden State team. I just don't know if they're ready yet because the NBA, Dennis, as we've seen over the years, you got to pay your dues a little bit. Jordan had to do it. The Lakers had to do it. LeBron had to do it. So I don't know if it might be a little bit too early for this Golden State Warriors team to win it all.
But they're so young and impetuous, they might just buck the trend.
it could happen. And I would be very happy for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I'd be happy for Steph Curry, but I would be unhappy for the Warriors management because I don't like them the way they did Mark Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Scott Brooks scenario, yeah. I think. They wanted a reason to get rid of Mark Jackson.
Yeah, Mark Jackson got dungied.
Yeah.
You just got dungied.
Like, we really like what you're doing, but we would like somebody else to do it because we think they'll do it better.
Exactly. Like, he can't even watch the finals right now. Every time he turns on the TV, he sees Steve Curry. He's like, Mama, there goes that man. Oh, but that's enough NBA talk, Dennis. Now, this would normally be the part of the A block where we would go to Marcus and his Hockey Minute. You know, it's a very popular segment of the show. A lot of people like it. A lot of people enjoy it. But I don't think you're the biggest hockey fan.
Well, I mean, I watch hockey. I'm a Rangers fan.
Like I said,
I know that there was some contention between Marcus and the good folks over at Mr. Throwback Thursday because they're fellow Rangers fans as well. Yep. So.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be an accommodating host, much like earlier when I let Dennis talk about his Mets. I was like, let's give Dennis his own segment. And I know Dennis is a big fan of soccer or football, if you want to be a dick about it. if you want to be pretentious, Dennis. But I'm like, you know what? I would like to have a conversation with Dennis about soccer. And so we're going to unveil for the first time ever a new segment that we call Dennis Black and Asians Soccer Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Soccer Negro. Will somebody hit Dennis's brand new theme music?
Oh, here it goes. Kick it!
It's time for the segment that's kicking like Shinobi. It's Dennis's Soccer Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Soccer Negro.
All right. Gonna learn today.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yes.
All right, what you got for us this week, Dennis?
Well, I mean, there's lots going on in soccer right now in the world. I assume this is a free format. I can just talk about whatever I want, right?
You got a minute.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I kind of want to talk about U.S. soccer because it's close to home. And this summer, the men's team is going to be playing the Gold Cup, where if we win, we can go play in the Confederations Cup against all the other top teams from other continents. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about the ladies.
Okay.
The U.S. women's team is playing in the Women's World Cup this summer in Canada. And it always seems like the U.S. team has been winning, you know, every year that we have the best team in the world, but we actually haven't won the World Cup since 1999. So we're looking to go back there and win it this year. And they have a lot of really good young players. And it kind of show the international or the diversity of our country in it, because two of the top young stars are people of color, actually.
Color would that be, Dennis?
Sydney LaRue. She is, I would say, African American, which I guess she is an American, but she was actually born in Canada. And okay. Her dad played for the California Angels, and her mom played for the Canadian softball team. So she comes from like a hardball softball family, but she ended up playing soccer.
Okay.
And she actually came over to the U.S. to play for us when she turned 18. And she's going back to Canada for this World Cup, which is kind of significant because...
Oh, so she's going to get
in 2013.
Homecoming.
Yeah, in 2013, there was a tournament in Canada that she went to, and they just booed her relentlessly throughout it. So it's going to be more of the same this summer, I'm sure. And actually, her husband is a soccer player as well. He's from England. And he plays for Sporting Kansas City, and he's trying to become an American citizen so he can play for the U.S. in the next World Cup. So I thought it was pretty interesting. But
okay.
Another young star there is Kristen Press. And in a word, she is awesome. She's fast, and she's got skills, and she can play over the field, and she's not too bad to look at either. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. So if you have any kind of mild interest in soccer and you want to see it played beautifully, you should check out the Women's World Cup this summer.
Well, hello, Kristen Press.
Yes.
Okay. She's got a lot of...
Did you go on the Google machine?
I did. I went on the Google machine, and she's got a lot of talent, if you will.
Yeah. I'm telling you, she can play, too. She is really good.
Okay. But the question, though, Dennis, that I think anybody that follows women's soccer would want to know is crazy-ass Hope Solo on his team?
Yes, she is, and she's going to be playing goalkeeper for the U.S. So as long as she does not get into any more domestic disputes.
Yeah, where is the commissioner of the Women's Soccer League? A little bit later on, we're going to talk about Roger Goodell. Where is the commissioner of the Women's Soccer League? Because every time I see her in the news, she is beating up her poor husband.
Yeah, Jeremy Stevens, poor guy.
is Jeremy Stevens even in the NFL anymore?
No, she beat him out of it. She beat the NFL out of him. They wouldn't let him back because he was getting beat by his wife.
Yeah, Richie Incognito.
It's like, you're supposed to be the other way around.
Yeah, they're like, you breaking all the rules. Yeah, so Crazy Hope Solo.
She did get suspended, though, by U.S. Soccer. They did suspend her for a little bit there. So
she is like, what's wrong with her, Dennis, in your professional opinion? Is she just crazy?
She is just crazy. Like, some people just aren't right. And people say that about goalkeepers in soccer anyways, because I played a little bit of goalkeeper, and I wasn't very good at it, because you got to put your face in there where people are kicking and try and grab a ball with your hands. And so you got to have something wrong with you to love doing that. And so I think she's exhibit A. That is true.
Yeah, like, I remember the first time I, like, that was the only reason I watched that one. I don't know if it's the Olympics or World Cup, when because the sister was playing goal.
Yeah, Brianna Scurry.
Yeah, Brianna Scurry. And she, like, ran her mouth talking about, I should have been playing. And yeah. Like, yeah, like, come on, girl.
Yeah. Like,
that's when I knew she was crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, first of all, you're crazy because you know how the media will run with stuff like that. Second of all, if you got a sister playing goalie, you don't know what she's been through in her life to get to this point. That's like if there's a black dude playing goalie in hockey.
Especially, like, especially when she looks like Tracy Chapman. You don't want to mess with her, man.
Exactly. Like, she's like, I ride a fast car.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she don't know what's going on. So I would say, hope, Solo, I hope, no pun intended, that you can get yourself together and we can bring home, what is it, a gold medal, a gold cup? What do we win for this thing?
In the World Cup trophy.
Okay.
So, and you know, we haven't won since she's been goalkeeper, so she's got something to prove. Brianna Scurry won it.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, yeah. All that stuff you was talking.
Exactly.
So, you got any other things before we wrap this up, Dennis?
No, man, that's it. Just everybody check out Kristen Press.
Yeah, pretty much. The other girl's not bad either.
No, she's not. Well, she's she moves very well in spite of her upper body situation.
I just hope that they don't talk about her like they talked about the brothers that played on the U.S. team for the Men's World Cup. Because, like, they tried so hard not to be accidentally racist. Shout out to Brad Paisley and LL Cool J. Like, it was just like, anytime that they made a good play, like, the U.S. team is much more athletic this year. You can certainly see them moving the ball more forward. They're attacking. They got such good speed now. It's the young players. It's because they're young players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jozy Altidore, he's kind of the main guy for the U.S. soccer team up front. And he's a black man. And one thing that makes me cringe whenever I read comments after a game that, you know, a match report or anything like that, is when people come out and say, he's just lazy. He's just lazy on the field. I'm like, oh, you're not saying that because you think he's actually lazy.
could always be worse. He could be a black quarterback.
Yeah.
It'd be like, yeah, we don't think Josie's intelligent enough to play forward.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, so that's Dennis's Soccer Minute. And, not a bad first entry.
It's the first one, maybe the last one.
Yeah, maybe the last one. Yeah, I'll say, like, there's only been two times that talking about soccer has been entertaining. This was one of them, and then the other time involved Dennis, and we were at some bar doing trivia night, and I was trying to figure out who the black player was from the 96 World Cup team. And Dennis couldn't think of him, and we finally had to go on Google. Because the only thing I could think of was, he played for the Tampa Bay team in the MLS. And I don't know why that came to mind, but it was Ernie something, or Ernie Simpson.
Yeah, Ernie Stewart.
Ernie Stewart, yeah. Shout out to Ernie Stewart. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that was probably the only other time.
Ernie Stewart, he's actually coaching out in the Netherlands now, and he's coaching one of actually a team that Jozy Altidore used to play for out there. So.
Okay, maybe Josie hooked him up.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, you know, you get your job from a friend of a friend, and brothers hook each other up.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. I think we're going to talk about hookups later, aren't we?
Yeah, we might talk about hookups in segment four. I didn't know Ernie was from the Netherlands. He's born in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. Okay, Ernie black and...
Dutch.
Dutch. Ernie black and Dutch. But yeah, enough of this soccer talk, though, Dennis. We are right. Americans. This is an American show. We let you have your little fun with the Mets.
I called it soccer.
We let you have your little fun with the Mets and with your little soccer minute. But this is America, Dennis. And in America, we talk about football. And it's about to be exciting again because the NFL draft is right around the corner. We've got players getting suspended and perhaps tossed out of the league. And maybe the most exciting element of all, Dennis, Tim Tebow's back.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready for Tebow Mania Round 2? Well, Dennis might not be ready for Tebow Mania, but you certainly will be because coming up next, we got a friend of the program stopping by to chat some NFL with us. We're going to talk about just a lot of great stuff. The draft, Tebow, Greg Hardy suspension. We might even get into some boxing with some Mayweather-Pacquiao predictions a little bit later. So stick and stay. Don't touch that dial. Don't touch your iPod, your laptop, your Android phone, your iPhone, or even your Zoom. Shout out to Dennis Black and Asian. We will get into that later, Dennis, because every week whenever I say your name, I have to shout out the Zoom Army because you are the lieutenant of the Zoom Army.
The Zoom Army of One.
The Zoom Army of One. Black Ops, if you will.
Yeah.
So we will get to that story a little bit later and get to the bottom of Dennis and his famed Microsoft Zoom. So if you want to hear all that, you know you got to keep it right here. Keep it locked because we got more Kings of Sport right after this.
We run this. No matter where you're from is where you're at. And if you can't freak a league, don't tip your hat. Like East Coast, West Coast, down south, represent your coast.
Yeah, we run this, yeah, we run this. Y'all don't
want it, cause my coach run it. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Here's my ladies in the place, y'all.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got Tebow. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got Tebow. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell Tebow.
Let him go.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, and podcasts regarding the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment, music, comic books, whatever you want. If you're interested in it, they've got it. So check out Place to Be Nation. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. Well, we are continuing the show this week. A little grab bag, a little what's the category in Jeopardy, Dennis? Potpourri?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just kind of, Marcus is out for the week, so I've said, you know what, let's go down the Rolodex and call on some old friends and catch up with them and get their thoughts on some of the biggest stories in the sports world right now. And our next guest on the program is a friend of the program. He's a fellow podcaster from time to time. You know him. You love him. He is the professor all the way out from L.A. Brother Chris, what is up, KME? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. And the last time we talked to Chris, for those that remember, it was right before WrestleMania. So I was like, you know what? We in the midst of another mania that's about to happen. So I wanted to get Chris's opinions because it is official now, folks. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed Tim Tebow to a one-year contract. So, Chris, we'll start off with you. What you gonna do, brother, when Tebow Mania runs wild on you?
Yeah, I'm hearing from a lot of people about this Tebow situation, talking about how bad of a decision it was on the Eagles' part for them to sign Tebow. I guess my question is, what were they doing before? Like, I could understand if the Eagles were like a winning team and like doing like big, big things in the NFL. And then, you know, you sign Tebow and then that's a downer. But I wasn't really offended by this signing the way a lot of people are. I wouldn't call myself a Tebow fan, but I don't hate him either. But I'm just, to me, it's a move, you know. I don't know if I, like, good or bad, you know, who knows. But I fail to see, like, what's so dumb about it. And perhaps if, you know, maybe one of y'all can you know, school me, because I just don't know.
Well, Dennis, being our resident NFC East expert, you're a Giants fan, so you might be facing one Tim Tebow this year. So what are your thoughts on the move?
Well, you know, I mean, usually I think it's kind of indicative of what the NFL has become, because it used to be a class of athlete to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. You know, there was a cast of guys that their job was to be a backup quarterback, and if the main guy went down, then you would go in and fill in for him. But it doesn't seem to be that way anymore. You kind of have one guy, and then you draft a new, you know, young talent that will one day or immediately, you know, take the main job. You don't really groom anybody. You don't have anybody in the background there. And when you look at Tim Tebow, he's not a backup quarterback. So you're either getting him to be your main guy, or you're getting him there to fill a niche role. Like, I read that they're looking at maybe having him as a two-point conversion specialist, and that just seems ridiculous, because
that's a great way to catch a check, though. Like, you only
it
go
is.
In
oh, it'd be
two
great.
Or three times a game.
Yeah, like, I would love to be some team's decoys. Like, why are they bringing this scrawny guy out there?
Yeah, but this is my first time hearing that, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just dumb, because, I mean, he's not a great thrower. I know they said he's been working with a coach, and he's a lot better now than he used to be, but he'll never be that, you know, pocket quarterback guy. His instinct is going to take over, and he's not going to be a good backup for the team. He's, you know, he has a certain set of skills that make him valuable, you know. But I just don't see it happen. It seems more like a PR move than anything.
Yeah, the way I see it, like, right now you've got almost like an off-Broadway version of The Wizard of Oz when it comes to the Eagles quarterbacks. And follow me on this, fellas. You got the 10-man Sam Bradford, because he can't stay healthy. You got the Cowardly Lion Mark Sanchez, because apparently good defenses sort of put a little bit of fear into him. And then you got Tim Tebow, who everybody in the media, especially at ESPN, is dogging. They play him a boy like he's Toto. I will say, for the record, I'm a Tebow fan. Now, that being said, I understand that he is not your prototypical quarterback. I understand that he has some limitations, and I think the only way Tebow works is, much like we saw in Denver, you know, John Fox, for whatever credit or disparaging remarks you want to, you know, put on him, he changed his offense when Tebow went in for Kyle Orton. When he went to the Jets, Rex Ryan did not do that. And then when he went to the Patriots, there was no way he was going to get in playing, you know, with Tom Brady there. So I think that that Patriots situation, you know, it doesn't count against Tebow. But if you're going to put him in there, you have to work to his strengths. Like, that's what a good coach does. They tailor their system to the strengths of their players, not the other way around. And Chip Kelly, people say he's a genius. He probably says he's a genius. So I think this is his opportunity right now to show us how smart he really is, because as much as I think Sam Bradford is a good kid and could have been a good quarterback if he could stay on the field, he's not going to stay on the field. We know what he is now. Mark Sanchez, he's a solid backup. But if Mark Sanchez is your starter on day one, then you're in trouble. But I think out of all those options, Tebow is the most intriguing. And I'm like, Chip Kelly, if you can't get Mariota in the draft, why not, you know, either way, with Mariota or with Tebow, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So why not give this experiment a try, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm with you 100%. I think that Mark Sanchez is a guy who's had chance after chance. Tebow, I mean, he won a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did at least do that. And then he was out of the NFL promptly. Well, not, I guess not out of the NFL. Well, he wasn't playing in the NFL, so to speak. I guess he was kind of on the periphery. I'm totally with the with giving Tebow a try and seeing what happens as a result.
And Dennis,
yeah, I think this is definitely the time. I mean, there's no harm, no foul right now, going into training camp to bring him on board. I mean, it generates some buzz around your team. But as far as, I mean, if the Eagles really think that they're going to win the NFC East next year with Tim Tebow as their number one quarterback, then I just don't see it happening.
No, I don't see it either. But I do think that he deserves a fair shot. And one of the things I've heard from people on ESPN is that, he's had chances. But if you really look at it, the only real chance that I think he was given was in Denver when, like I said, they accommodated what he could bring to the table and they had some success. But other than that, man, if you're not going to, use Tim Tebow to his best abilities, he's just going to be another guy. Now, is he going to be as bad as someone like Geno Smith or Ryan Lindley? Maybe, maybe not. But I do think that there are ways you can utilize Tim Tebow if you're a smart coach in the NFL.
I think the real reason that a lot of people in the media maybe don't like him is because of the commercial during the Super Bowl. He kind of, because he wears his faith on his sleeve. And I think a lot of people in the media get really uncomfortable with that. And so, you bring him back into the fold and under the spotlight. And guess what? Now the faith-based discussions have to take place again. And people get really nervous about that in the media. Or the media, as you like to say.
Yes, the media. I don't know, man. Something just tells me. I guess I have faith, Dennis. You can say I have faith that Tim Tebow will be in the NFL. But there's one guy I know for a fact will not be in the NFL, at least not for 10 games, and that is Greg Hardy, formerly of the Panthers, currently of the Cowboys, and America's favorite commissioner, Roger Goodell brought the hammer down again, and the NFL has suspended Greg Hardy for 10 games. I don't know how much you guys know about the crimes that he was accused of and found guilty of in Carolina, but it's some terrible stuff. Like, it makes what Ray Rice did look tame by comparison. So on the one hand, I think I agree with a suspension, but at the same time, I'm just kind of done with Roger Goodell in terms of being the authority figure in the NFL, at least when it comes to player conduct issues.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't cut anybody any slack, and he doesn't have any accountability for his actions either, which I think is kind of the incredible thing, because he's holding other people accountable for their actions, but there's no real accountability for what he does, except for, if you want to go to an arbiter outside, and we've kind of seen that doesn't really resolve anything in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, like, Chris, like, we now know that Roger Goodell was not being truthful when he was like, we couldn't get access to the Ray Rice video, and I don't know what happened to it. So we know that Roger Goodell is not credible on that front. What do you think about the 10-game suspension for Greg Hardy, and what do you think about Roger Goodell in general?
Well, I'll start with Roger Goodell first. The guy is clearly in over his head. He handled that Ray Rice situation. I don't think you could have handled it any worse. He had access to those videos and stuff. There was some type of cover up going on. I don't know exactly where it begins, but he was not forthcoming with it, and the fact that you have this guy who I think is lacking in moral character, is pretty much in charge of, punishments in the NFL is just a sad state of affairs. It's like, I was never a big fan of NBA Commissioner David Stern, but on the flip side of that coin, I never heard of him being involved in any of this type of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's my issue with Roger Goodell is just, it just seems like a tapestry of deceit. And I'm not a big fan of Goodell. As far as Hardy's punishment, It's justifiable. I don't understand what it is with these guys and the domestic violence. I just don't get it. It's sickening to read these types of stories. It's weird that it's happening on the Panthers also, from a Panthers guy also, just given like the history of nonsense with women of that team.
Yeah.
But it's, I've got no issues with the suspension.
Yeah, I would say I don't have an issue with the suspension. And, first of all, I like the Tapestry of Deceit. I think that should be a movie, a made for TV movie. The Tapestry of Deceit, starring Danny Aiello as Roger Goodell. I don't know why I picked Danny Aiello. It's like Sal from Do the Right Thing as
yeah.
NFL.
Yeah,
commissioner.
Yeah, I know who Danny Aiello is. Yeah.
So you think in the NFL commissioner's office they just have pictures of Italian football players on the wall?
It's like, hey Roger, how come you ain't got no brothers on the wall? This is my league.
Yeah, commissioner, you can put your own pictures on the wall.
Yeah. I don't need a Rooney Rule in my office.
Yeah.
But my last thing that I would say about Greg Hardy is it's ironic because they made such a big deal about how they were going to restructure the disciplinary procedure with the NFL. And, you know, you got Roger Goodell coming out so strong on this, which he always does. And he's like, Greg Hardy suspended for 10 games for conduct detrimental to the league. But what do you like in terms of the last 2 or 3 years in the NFL? The most detrimental thing that happened over that span was the Ray Rice thing. And yes, Ray Rice is definitely at fault, but also the way, like Chris said, the way Goodell bumbled that whole thing. Like, that to me is much more detrimental to the league than anything any of the players can do, even if it's something as despicable as what Greg Hardy did.
Because the thing with the Goodell thing is they gave this guy a punishment based on the evidence that they have. I for one, just do not believe in a reality where they didn't have access to that elevator video. I just don't believe it. And then once it got public, then they had to kind of lay down the hammer. But this was after they had already given a punishment, and they, you know, trying to pretend that this was new evidence. It's just sad and very, very pathetic on the NFL's part. He's definitely got to go. I don't know, like, how much longer this guy can last with these boneheaded moves. I just really don't.
See, here's the thing.
I think
go ahead,
one thing that might be able to resolve this whole thing is maybe we just need to tell North Korea that Roger Goodell was talking smack about Kim Jong-un. And then they'll send their hackers over there and get all those secret emails and files that the NFL has kind of concealing their nefarious activities. And then it'll all be revealed, kind of like the whole Sony thing.
It'd be the Ray Rice interview. That'd be the movie made about that one.
Yeah.
But I think that the biggest thing for me, and I don't think that Roger Goodell needs to lose his job. What I do think is he needs to lose some of that power, because it makes no sense to have a system where you got a collectively bargained partnership. And that's the other thing, man. People are so quick to hop on the side and ride with the owners and ride with the commissioner. It's like, no, it's a partnership. You know, the owners and the commissioner are important, but the players are just as, if not more, important. And so it's like, I think they need somebody independent, somebody that, like, let's say you get a panel of five people. Let's say the commissioner picks a person, the owners pick two people, and the players pick two people, or however you want to do the math. And that's the way that you do these things. You make it a real court and not just some guy sitting in his office with pictures of Italian football players making up punishments as they go along.
Nate, when you talk about the players not having a say or anything, they did have a say in 2011 when they, you know, signed the latest CBA. And that's not, you know, that was deep into Goodell's reign as a commissioner. And that was supposed to kind of solve a lot of the problems that they saw in the disciplinary system in the NFL. And to see that, you know, really nothing much has changed, a lot of the onus falls back onto the players for not ironing out a better deal for themselves.
That's
obviously,
point.
You know, and the only person that Goodell's really accountable to is the owners of the teams. So, you know, as long as their profits are getting larger and viewership of the NFL keeps going up, then, you know, for the owners, they don't care. As long as Goodell's the one taking the heat and not them, you know, that's kind of what he's there for.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So, I think what we're all saying is D'Amore Smith, you need to do a better job, man.
Yeah.
Step your game up. Step your game up representing these players. So those are the stories about players that are currently in the league. But the last thing we're going to touch on here with the NFL is players that are about to be in the league. Draft day is on the horizon. And no, I'm not talking about that terrible Kevin Costner movie. I am talking about the NFL draft. And real quick, fellas, let's go around the room. Consensus number one pick. I'm saying it's Jameis Winston. Do you guys disagree or agree with that?
I'm gonna say Winston or the guy coming out of USC. Is it Williams? Leonard Williams?
Yeah, the defensive end. Yeah.
Yeah. Either one of those two.
And are you down with not down with Winston, but are you down with the pick of Winston?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's gonna happen.
I like it. I like the fit. I think that the only thing that worries me about him going to Tampa is it's still a little too close to home in terms of if Lovie was coaching the Bears and they got Winston, I would love that move because I think this is the right coach and the right system for him to be in. But the only thing that worries me is, has he grown up and matured enough to handle this pressure? But on the field, man, like, there's no question he was the best quarterback not only this year but last year as well.
Yeah, I think with Winston, the rewards outweigh the risk. I think the reason why like Johnny Football fell so low in the draft last year was just because I don't think the rewards I think the risk outweighed the rewards in that situation. I just think that Johnny Football had way – I think the stuff that Winston has is questionable. But like you said, he's just so undeniably good. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's – like, I think it'd be foolish to not get him if you have the chance to get him, especially if you're a team in need – of a quarterback.
I agree. And the other high profile quarterback in this year's draft is Marcus Mariota from Oregon. And he's kind of the wild card because if you look at a bunch of different mock drafts from all the so-called experts out there in the media, you can find Mariota going pretty much anywhere from the top pick on some people's boards all the way down to, you know, the 15th pick. And so my question is, where do you think Marcus Mariota is going to end up? And also maybe a part two, what do you think is the best place for him to land? Dennis, since I was going to say since you share the same heritage, but he's not Asian at all, is he?
No, I don't think so.
You're all South Pacific somewhere out there in that ocean.
Exactly. You know, honestly, I don't know where he's going to go. And I think somebody is probably going to end up trading up to get him. I don't think he's going to go number one to Tampa. But I think somebody's going to trade up somewhere in the, you know, middle of the top 10, probably to try and get him if they can. I don't know where his best fit will be because it's kind of weird when you have a lot of these quote-unquote system quarterbacks that come out of college and, you know, you don't know how they're going to transition to the NFL. Because they had such a specialized offense there at Oregon that he played in. And, you know, it seems like his decision-making is good, but he fumbled a lot. So, you know, turnovers is always a big thing that you have to be worried about. And with you know, pass rushers in the NFL being bigger and faster than anybody in college, you know, he might be putting the ball on the ground quite a bit. So, I don't know exactly where he might go because it seems like almost everybody needs a quarterback. But, I don't know exactly. I don't have a good prediction on who might take him, but I do have a feeling that somebody's going to trade up to go get him.
There's a lot of good talent coming out this year. You know, you got guys like Shane Ray coming out from Missouri, who I think is going to find the road to the NFL much easier than his homeboy Michael Sam did last year. You know, you've got some great running backs. You got Todd Gurley. You got some great receivers. So who's a guy that you think will have an immediate impact in the league that maybe people are talking about, but might be under the radar as well? Chris, do you got somebody in mind that you think is going to really make some noise once they get to the league?
Not anybody really outside of the usual suspects, like not anyone outside of Winston or Williams or anything like that. But I haven't really had a chance to pay too much attention to the draft prospects. So if I was gonna, I'm expecting some big things from Jameis Winston. I really am expecting him to reignite that quarterback position and change that position profoundly moving forward. I really do.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be funny because, Dennis, we could be living in a world not too far off where the white quarterback in Andrew Luck is the most athletic guy in the league, and the black quarterback in Jameis Winston is probably one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league.
It'd be like Ghostbusters, man, when Gozer was coming out, cats sleeping with dogs.
But do you have anybody in mind on the draft board, Dennis? Maybe one of the stars or maybe somebody under the radar that you're really going to be looking for big things from next year?
Not really digging deep, but I think wide receiver is a position where people can make an immediate impact pretty easily, especially with the way the rules are in the NFL right now. And so I look at a guy like Amari Cooper, and yeah, I think he's going to be a really bright offensive tool for whatever team is lucky enough to get him, hopefully the Giants, next season. But, I mean, if you can run and catch, and then you're going to be a star in the NFL, you know, as long as you can hold on to the ball and don't drop it, then, you know, the future is bright for you. And I think Amari Cooper is one of those guys who can be a star in the league.
Yeah, I think he can make an immediate impact. Other than Winston, I'll agree with KME. I think Winston, you know, he's going to take his lumps in his rookie season because it is still the Tampa Bay Bucks. But I think that he's a guy in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be saying, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But the other guy that I'm looking at is somebody I mentioned earlier, and that's Todd Gurley from out of Georgia. I think that he's probably going to go mid to late first round or early second round, and whoever gets him, I think they're going to get a steal because he was – before he got hurt, he was probably, you know, a top five pick guaranteed. But, you know, due to the injury and some of the off the field stuff, you know, with the autograph signings and all that nonsense, you know, he kind of slipped down the board. But I think that he's a guy that's going to be reinvigorated. And as long as he's healthy, I think he can be a beast. I think he can be somewhat like a Michael Turner that used to play for the Falcons and for the Chargers, but with speed. Like, Turner was a beast. He would bowl over you, but he wasn't as fast as Gurley. And I think Gurley also has good hands, you know, catching out of the backfield. So Gurley's a guy that I think, you know, I would love to see him fall to the Panthers. And as much as I hate the Panthers because they're in the same division as my Falcons, I think Cam Newton and Todd Gurley, that's a nice little 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, I mean, running backs are so hard nowadays, because it's so difficult to be consistent as a running back in the league. You look back, like, what, 2 or 3 years, and everybody thought Peyton Hillis was the best thing on, you know, on the gridiron. And now look at him. You know, he was a little used. Well, he was used more than he should have been last season with the Giants. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to be fighting for a roster spot somewhere, more than likely.
I mean,
it's so fleeting as a running back to have success in the league.
I mean, the position is disposable, as we've seen with Trent Richardson. like how quickly he fell off the map. But yeah, if you can get a guy like an Adrian Peterson, I'm not saying Gurley's Adrian Peterson, or a guy like a DeMarco Murray, we've seen the impact that a stud running back can have on your team. And I'm not saying that Gurley is either one of those guys yet, but I do think he can be a stud running back. And if he stays healthy, I think he's a guy that can, you know, put up 1,200-yard seasons for 5 or 6 years.
Fair enough.
But we're going to end it off talking about, I would say it's the fight of the decade, but as Bob Arum and Mayweather Productions have told us, this is the fight of the century, fellas.
The millennium.
The millennium, yeah. Your kids will be talking about this one. It is the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, of course, taking place next weekend, I think. Yeah, but yeah, by the time you listen to the show, it'll be next. Yeah. It'll be next weekend. So May 2nd, out there in Vegas, Marcus Vandenberg's second home. We got Mayweather and Pacquiao, and this is the fight that everybody's been talking about for years and more years, and it's finally done. The contracts have been signed. We've heard all the hype. When it comes down to these two men being in that ring, Brother Chris, I'll let you go first. What do you think the outcome is going to be of the fight of the century?
All right, I have a very big opinion on this fight. I'll condense it. I think Mayweather wins. This is my whole issue with the fight. I get more excited, honestly, about the premier boxing champion that fights that air on NBC and Spike TV and all of that. I'm just not as moved by this fight as I should be. As a boxing fan, my favorite combat sport, I want this fight to do big numbers and I want it to be really big. But my problem with with Pacquiao Mayweather is, one, I just don't think Pacquiao has a chance of winning. And two, if Pacquiao wins, it doesn't progress the sport of boxing. Because I don't see, like, I think the person that beats Mayweather should be a guy who's on the come up. You know what I'm saying? A guy who's going to be around for years, you know. And I see Pacquiao beating him as, you know, a one-time thing. If he gets blessed enough to beat him, I see it as a one-time thing, and I could see him losing like a fight or two after that. So I just you know, it's hard for me to get excited about this. If Mayweather wins, then Pacquiao is just another guy he beat, you know. So that's kind of where my head is with this fight. I'm just not excited about the fight because I don't see either outcome progress in the sport of boxing.
Okay, we'll get your take in a second, Dennis, but let me address some of Chris's points, because I think those are some very interesting thoughts from Brother Chris. And I will say that, number one, I kind of agree. Like, I'm not as amped for this fight as I probably should be, or as much as I would have been 5 years ago. But, you know, keeping it real, like, when that bell rings, you're going to be in you and me, we're either going to be at a friend's house or at a bar, or we're going to call our cable company nefarious means, and we're going to find a way to watch that fight. Like, if you're a fan of boxing, you're going to be watching that fight when that bell rings. The second thing is, yeah, I think it would be the best case scenario if you had a young up-and-coming fighter and they were able to take Floyd down, and you kind of get that pass the torch moment. But I also think that Manny Pacquiao winning wouldn't be the worst thing, because let's say he wins a close decision. This is boxing. They don't leave money on the table. It's going to be a rematch, and that's going to be the fight of the whatever's bigger than the millennium, Dennis. You're our math
expert. The eon.
Yes, the fight of the eon, the rematch, Mayweather-Pacquiao too. I think that a big fight, it's almost like that theory that the rising tide lifts all boats. Because you mentioned the Premier Boxing League, you mentioned some of these other fights, and I think because of Mayweather-Pacquiao, boxing, it's not as popular as it was in the 90s, but I think that right now in 2015, it's probably as popular as it's been in the last 10 years probably. And I think a lot of that is due to the hype around this one fight and that hype kind of going out and lifting everybody up.
I do agree. I'm really just a very casual boxing fan. And I think we've kind of paid the highest toll of this whole drama because there's so much fatigue. Like you said, it's been 5 years since they were talking about this, and it's been the fight's on, the fight's off, the fight's on, the fight's off. And then in that meantime, you know, Pacquiao's lost, what, like 2 bouts? And so the luster is really worn off because at the time when they first started talking about this, Pacquiao seemed like, you know, he was unbeatable. And obviously, you know, Mayweather has never been beaten, so it was going to be a clash of the titans, so to speak. But now it's just, you know, Pacquiao, you can look at him as kind of in decline, and Mayweather's probably looking at this as his last fight, I would imagine. You know, if he wins this, it kind of cements his legacy. And so, you know, I don't know. I still kind of want to go see it, and if I'm being completely honest, the last fight that I actually went out and was excited to see was the Evander Holyfield-Lennox Lewis fight, and that's like 12 years ago. So,
damn.
I mean, wow. it takes, like, if this fight had happened even 4 years ago, I would have been really excited to see it. But now I'm just kind of like, do I really want to go to a bar with a bunch of obnoxious people and deal with all that to see this fight? And I'm considering it, which kind of still says something, but, you know, it's too little too late, I think. The fatigue from the up and down of the negotiations and everything, it's kind of worn me out. It's, you know, like I said, I'm not a big boxing fan, so it's just worn me down to where I almost don't care that much.
Now, I think it's going to be a big night. It's going to be a celebration. But I also think that, you know, I think Mayweather's going to win. I see him winning by decision. And I think that there could be a chance. For me, the most exciting thing would be if Floyd could win by knockout. Like if Manny got really desperate in the closing rounds and got a little careless, because Floyd's not the guy with the biggest power, but he's somebody that can hit you with that, no offense, Dennis, that Chinese water torture and kind of just wear you down round after round.
That was terrible. I'm not Chinese.
I know. That was terrible. The people don't know that, Dennis.
Oh, sorry. So sorry.
You're blowing the gimmick.
But forgiveness, please.
But he can wear you down, and I think that accumulation combined with Manny being a little bit reckless could lead to a knockout, and I think that would be kind of the perfect exclamation point on Floyd's career. And he could just be out here, you know, like, hey, I told you, you might have hated me, but you all paid to see me. Money Mayweather, I'm one of the greatest fighters of all time. The only fight I've ever lost is my battle with literacy.
Yeah. How good is Mayweather with money? I hear things, because I do think that after this one, I think it's, if he keeps on fighting, he's gonna lose eventually. Because that's just the nature of any type of combat sport. You don't get to be undefeated, especially if you're doing this thing, if you're doing it up until your 40s. That just doesn't happen. So I definitely think this was, you know, if he wins this, I think it's a good fight to hang your hat on and just, you know, walk out into the sunset.
Yeah, I think that, man, it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be fun. And in terms of his money, yeah, he gambles. Like, he's a ridiculous gambler. Like, I was listening to a show the other day where he literally bet, like, $500,000 on the first half score, the over under on the first half score of a Utah Jazz game.
Wow, that's like, insane.
Right. It's like that's he won the bet. So, but it's still ridiculous. So I think he's got issues with his spending, but at the same time, man, he's made so much money. Like, unless he develops a gambling problem and a drug habit and 3 mistresses, I think he'll be all right.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. That's because that's my like, you know how it is with fighters, man. Like they usually stay longer than they should, but that temptation to get, like, you know, if especially if they've blown their money, like the way Tyson used to do, you know, that one fight can get you a good, you know, 20-30 million. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, so you get a lot of times you get these guys staying way longer than they should, and I don't want Mayweather turning into that. You know what I'm saying? I would think it would be nice if he retired undefeated, but I could see him staying in the, you know, in boxing way past the point of where he should. And I, you know, that's one of my concerns with Mayweather.
Nah, well, if he needs money, he can always just take the payday and go back to WWE and go punch Big Show in the face again.
Yeah, it'd probably be the most exciting thing in the WWE in a while too.
Yeah, really.
Like, that's how much the lull has been after WrestleMania. We brought in KME, the professor, our resident wrestling analyst, and we didn't even talk wrestling, you know, because it's just not good right now.
Yeah.
But if the folks out there, if the people listening want to get into some wrestling conversations with you, Brother Chris, where can they find you? Where can they hit you up and keep the conversation going?
Well, we're still, I'm still trying to work out something with Mike Knox on PDSR. I was working with him before, and we were doing the Monday show, but it just it just wasn't really working out for me on that show anymore. So I have my own show with Mike Knox and the BDSR Network. So we're trying to get that the ball rolling on that soon. And I got a lot of stuff going on with the University of Southern California and with various outlets. And then I'm also doing a lot of freelance writing, so you know, just when my articles come up, I'll tweet them out, and you can go add me to Twitter at KME the letter Z and does it. So KMEZ does it.
There you go. That is the professor KME, a friend of the program. It's good to have you back on, brother, and maybe next time Marcus will actually show up.
I don't know if
y'all got into some words when y'all were both out there at WrestleMania or what, but we need to increase the peace. Increase the peace.
He's enjoying marital bliss. So, yeah, it was good seeing him and all those law guys and everybody out for WrestleMania weekend. I spent way more money than I should have, but it was still fun seeing everybody.
See, you worried about money, Mayweather. You need to check your own pockets, brother.
Hey, look, my pockets are fine. I just, you know, it's just that I just I spent money on the reunion with everybody, all the people. I didn't spend money for the wrestling part. I spent money to hang out with everybody. So.
Oh, real quick, Chris, because I know some of the listeners are going to kill me if I don't ask this. Last time you were on the program, you were telling us about a lady friend, and you did you go to see 50 Shades of Grey, or what was that?
Oh, yeah.
So how's that working out?
I am still talking to that girl. We're not – we don't have any labels yet, but – We're still going on strong, and she's cool, and yeah, I haven't done much of the online dating stuff anymore because everybody I met on POF and what's the other one
Tinder,
yeah, man, oh man, those chicks are weird, yeah, but.
Chris is like, man, it ain't like Black Planet used to be.
Yeah. Well, Black Planet, at least you kind of knew what you were in for, you know what I'm saying? Like, Tinder is the most superficial thing on the planet. You get like three lines from a girl, and if she looks kind of good or, you know, does some nice looking yoga stretches, you swipe right or whatever, and... And I'm not a fan of the Tinder stuff, so I'm not on Tinder anymore.
I want to check it out, but I think my wife will get mad at me if I download it. So.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in seeing it.
That's probably some bad business right there.
You can tell it's just for research. It's for the show.
Yeah, Nate, I'm going to come visit you. You need to show me how this Tinder stuff works. I just want to see it.
Oh, man, that's great. I think that's how we got to end every segment with you, Chris. We got to get an update on your love life because the people, I don't know why, but the people seem to be interested in it and they find it, you know, they're living through you, brother. So you got a whole lot of people.
With me, I don't feel the need to try to bullcrap like I'm King Dingling, like I'm just the pimp of the year. You know what I'm saying? I'm very realistic about, you know, my successes and failures when it comes to dating. More often failures than successes, but I keep pushing through.
Yeah, you're the Tim Tebow of dating. You just gotta have
faith. Yeah, exactly.
Just gotta keep the faith, brother.
Yeah, keeping hope alive.
Keep getting there that roster bonus.
So, yeah, get that roster bonus. Maybe you can get a 1-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff, my man. So that is the professor, KME. He's going to step away, but Dennis and I will be back next segment for segment 4 and another special guest. Yes, it keeps going on, Dennis. Who's behind door number 2?
It gets specialer and specialer.
They ain't specialer and specialer, maybe curiouser and curiouser. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this.
I'll make him do it.
I might let your boys show for me, but he gotta eat the booty like groceries. But
oh man, hey.
If he wants me to expose the freak, ooh, that's all supposed to be. Ooh, that's all supposed to be. Ooh, that's all supposed to be. Everything good like it's supposed to be.
If y'all chick come close to me, she ain't going home where she's supposed to be.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
And welcome back to the Kings of Sport, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio family. Go to highvoltageradio.com for the freshest selection of podcasts, not only our show, not only Mr. Throwback Thursday featuring friends of the program Bill and Jamie, but you can check out some great shows like Attack of the Fangirls. It's so great I can't even get it out. I can't even pronounce it. Axology, Bayside High and Drunk, The Ebony and Ivory Cast, The Gravy Age, Mad Mock, Mustache, Cast Stash, Pittsburgh Nerd, and The Must Hate Zombie Show. Yes, you can get all that for the low, low price of free. Go to highvoltageradio.com, check out their selection of podcasts, and tell them the King sent you. Well, folks, if you're hearing that music, you know what time it is. The segment that you wait for each and every week, the often imitated but never ever duplicated segment 4. It's our repository of ratchetness. It's where we talk about the latest and craziest stories in the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment. If it's ratchet, we're going to talk about it. So, Dennis is riding shotgun this week, and I was like, you know what? I want to talk some ratchetness with Dennis, but we got to take this up to a whole nother level. You remember that skit on Mad TV, Dennis? We're going to take it to the H&L. The whole
nother level.
And so I'm like, who can I get to take this to the H&L? And I'm like, you know what? We got to go with friend of the program. She's a writer. She's a podcaster. She's a wrestling fan. Sometimes she's a pain in my ass. But we still love her anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, our friend, Sierra Reed.
How exactly am I a pain in your ass?
Hey, let's just say sometimes you come on here and you have some stinging comments
that
cut me deep, but we're not going to get into that today. We're going to start everything off on the right foot.
I mean, the truth hurts.
Because much like Kanye would say, like a light-skinned slave, Sierra, you in the motherfucking house.
I'm just saying.
So how are you doing, Sierra? It's been a little bit since we last talked to you. How are things in Sierra's world?
Pretty hectic, pretty outrageous, and I hate it all.
Hey, you got to keep a positive attitude.
I do. That's my positive attitude. I just hate it all.
Well, it could always be worse, Sierra. You could be in the middle of a public controversy about stealing crab legs. So as far as I know, you haven't done that yet, have you?
No, why would I?
Why would you? Why would Dennis? Why would you?
You know what? That is a question that nobody is asking.
Like, why would you steal crab legs? And of course, we're talking about projected number one pick in the NFL draft, former Florida State quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner, Jameis Can't Get Right Winston. And I don't know if you know the story, Sierra, but basically, Jameis Winston went into a Publix, which is a chain of grocery stores down in Florida, and went into the Publix and walked out with a bag full of fresh king snow crab legs. And when the police was like, did you pay for it? He was like, hey, I'm Jameis Winston. And he got in trouble for that. So that was, you know, that's where the story was, Dennis. That was, you know, the last thing that we as sports fans heard about this story. And, you know,
we almost forgot about it.
Yeah, we almost forgot about it until somebody decided to remind us. And that somebody was Jameis Winston. Now, Sierra, I don't know how familiar you are with the NFL draft, but every year ESPN likes to do this thing where they get the top draft picks or the top prospective draft picks, and they put them on TV and do like a little reality show of the struggles of preparing for the draft, and they talk with coaches, and you see their parents on there and all this other stuff. And so Jameis Winston was a part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him sit down with Jim Harbaugh, who is the head coach of Michigan, used to be the head coach of the 49ers. And this particular segment of the show was getting the guys ready for their NFL team interviews. Like, they'll sit down with the GM or the player personnel director for 10, 15 minutes, and they'll ask them a bunch of questions. One of the famous questions, I think from 3 or 4 years ago, Dennis, was when the guy asked Dez Bryant about his mother being a prostitute.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. Like, how you want me to answer that, man? It's like, I think I would turn into Kanye if he asked me that question. Like, you ain't got the answers, Sway.
Yeah.
You ain't got the answers. But Jim Harbaugh's like, okay, Jameis, if there's anything that's going on in your life, you know, you need to be upfront with these guys. Don't lie to these guys. Tell them the truth so that you can get everything out in the open. And so Jameis is like, okay. And he's like, so tell me about some things that have gone on in your life that have been bad in terms of run-ins with the law. And Jameis tells a story about getting caught shooting BB guns because the cop thought it was a rifle and a speeding ticket or something like that. Now, mind you, this is a man that has had a very public sexual assault allegation on his record. A man that, as we mentioned, stole the crab legs. And so that's all Jameis said. He sat back, smiled. He's like, yeah, I got that answer right. But the assistant coach sitting next to Jim Harbaugh was like, Jameis, what happened with that thing with the crab legs that was in the media about you stealing crab legs? You know, because it's if you don't talk about it, it'll look like you're being dishonest. So Jameis says, okay, I understand that. But what if I got them for free? Do I still have to say I messed up? Now, this, Sierra, we're about to get into a what had happened was story. And all of us in attendance know that if you ask somebody something and their first words are what had happened was, you already know it's an excuse. So they say, okay, well, what do you mean you got it for free, Jameis? Jameis said, what had happened was it was my buddy's birthday and we bought a cake and we met a dude at the Publix grocery store that said, anytime you want to come in here, I can get you free crab legs. So I went back and got the free crab legs, and next thing I know, I was in trouble.
See, this is how you know somebody's full of bullshit. When they say what had happened was, and it was somebody's birthday, you know it's about to be completely just wrong from jump.
Did he say, all right, so there I was.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's a saying called common sense is not too common. It really applies to him. It's just, how old is he? He's got to be, what, 22-something? Yeah, like, I know when we're younger, we all make dumb decisions, and then when we're, like, 25, 26 or older,
Dennis
we're like...
Winston, 21, from Hueytown, Alabama.
You know, when we get older, we're all sitting there thinking, like, oh, God, I shouldn't have done it. You know, that's yeah. just reality, but the problem I'm having is that he's making these mistakes in college, and what more mistakes is he going to make when he gets in the league?
Well, I wouldn't even have a problem with the mistakes in college because I did some stupid things when I was in college too. But the thing is that where's the accountability?
Yes.
Like when I made mistakes in college, if I was caught, you do the crime, you do the time. Mm-hmm. I was punished. I was put on academic suspension, things of that nature. And it's like, hey, you know, when they asked me in the meeting, Mr. Milton, why did you sleep through 6 consecutive classes? It wasn't like, see, what had happened was it was my cousin's birthday and we had bought an alarm clock, but I forgot that it only ran on solar power and it was dark because it was the winter solstice. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't come in with a story. I was like, hey, I was drinking, I was partying, and hey, I missed class, my fault, I'm going to try to do better. Like, there's got to be some level of remorse and some level of, hey, you know, I messed up and I'm going to do better. And I think in some ways he's done that, but in a lot of ways, especially on this show, because I'm that's the other thing. Like, I don't know how far how long ago this show was recorded, because it just aired like this past week. So, you know, mm-hmm. Knowing TV, they could have recorded this maybe 3 months ago. But even still, 3 months ago is too late or too soon to be changing your story. Like, we know that this is what's been told to the police. And what made it worse, Publix came out and they was like, hey, we don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Publix was like in the corner, like, hey, Jameis. Like Publix was like on the corner smoking a cigarette with his hat turned low. Hey, Jameis, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name.
You know, I think it just kind of shows that, number one, he has no self-awareness. Because he doesn't understand how his actions play into people's perception of him. You know, obviously, like you said, when he, you know, stood up and said that stuff while he was being investigated for sexual assault, it doesn't click with him. And that's, you know, maybe that's not too surprising, because that's supposed to be one of the last things that we develop as adults, is kind of a good sense of self-awareness. But I also think he has the wrong people talking in his ear, like his advisors and his lawyers and everything, because when he made that statement to the police, you know, he had his legal team that basically told him, hey, the best way out of this is just say that you forgot to pay for them and don't mention anything about a hookup or anything like that. And I almost kind of want to believe him about this hookup, because the question that doesn't get explored in this article at all is, what happened with the birthday cake? Like, did he really hook up with a free birthday cake?
That's cool. Yeah, we need receipts, man. We need receipts.
Because if he really got a free birthday cake, then that makes his story about the free crab legs even more believable. But if there was no birthday cake in the first place, you know, I sound like Johnny Cocker now. You know, if there was no birthday cake.
If there was no cake, then you got to let him skate.
Exactly.
If there was no icing, you can't throw him in jail like Tyson.
But, I mean, you add up all these factors of this guy has no self-awareness. He just got free birthday cake from this place. And it was, you know, maybe it was the same guy working the crab legs counter that day. And so he just figured, hey, I get free crab legs today. I don't know.
See, but that when the story first came out, the first thing, I don't know if you listened to that show, Dennis, when Marcus and I were talking about it, the first thing that came to my mind was, I was in college and I was broke. You know, and that's a whole nother discussion about the NCAA and how they pimp these college athletes. But yeah. I was broke. You know, I had like maybe I was like surviving off of 25, 30 bucks a week. And so it's like, obviously, as we've already mentioned, I slept through class because I was partying. So half of that 30 was going to some beer. And so with the remaining 15, I'm like, okay, you got to make that dollar stretch. And the way that you make that dollar stretch is sometimes stretching out your fingers and maybe slipping a can of soup or some ramen noodles or something in your backpack. I'm not saying I did it or didn't do it, but the statute of limitations is open. It's over. So I can't be prosecuted on this by any grocery stores up in the New England area. But I'm just saying, like it would have never occurred to me in that state. Like, if I was super hungry and it's like, yo, I'm going in the store with the intent to steal something, I'm not going for the crab legs, man.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, if you...
That's what makes it almost believable. It's like, why would you try and steal crab legs, you know?
Like, you a thief with expensive taste?
Yeah, it's not even raw crab legs. It was, they were cooked. They were prepared. So a bunch of people were involved in this process of preparing these
right,
crab legs for you.
The whole
and you
time
thought you could
waited.
Just walk right out the door with them.
He waited, like, yeah, let me, can I get a cup of butter on the side?
Yeah, he took a number. You know, you don't, if you steal, you don't take a number.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point, Dennis. And I think that's a point, that's a distinction that I think a lot of people fail to make when they talk about Jameis Winston in the media. Because yeah. I think Jameis is, I don't think he's dumb. I just think that he lacks self-awareness and he lacks accountability at times. And I think that's a big difference from somebody being an idiot, which is how I think a lot of the media portrays him.
True, but it's also the thing of if you allow, put yourself out there to look like an idiot, everybody else is going to think the same thing too. You know, he's got to at some point smarten up and realize that these poor decisions that he's making is not just a consequence on him, but other people are sitting back and looking at it and just really thinking that this guy is just completely just dumb. And he's not. You know, I just really hope that he actually gets it together and not in 5 years, the next thing you know, I'm going to see a commercial for ESPN Films Presents the story of, you know, like, I hope we don't have that. Because if he doesn't pull it together, they're going to do that. They're going to make him look like a failure.
Be like Lobster Fest starring Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. You thought crab legs was the tip of the iceberg, starring Michael B. Jordan as Jameis Winston.
It's going to be all over crab legs. That's going to be the title. Like, what?
Yeah, most people who are fast get the name Crazy Leg, but he's going to get the nickname Crab Legs.
Yeah.
Right.
He'd be like, hey, it's not my fault I'm a cancer.
Yeah. But you know what? He's a real cancer on the team. But you know, maybe he's an evil genius because we're not talking about his rape allegations right now.
Yeah.
We're back talking about the crab legs again.
That is true because
he's getting sued by that.
Yeah,
by
that look, yeah, cult, exactly. So. If you look at the timeline, about a week and a half ago, the alleged victim came out with a civil suit against Jameis Winston, which, you know, the teams knew that this was coming up down the pike. And about 6 days after that civil suit was announced, we get the episode with Jameis. What had happened, Coach, was I knew a guy, and he just happened to work at the seafood counter, and now everybody's talking about this. So maybe Jameis Winston is the smartest man in the room.
Yeah, maybe.
he's going home at night petting a white cat. Like, yes, let them all think of the crab legs.
It was always the crab legs, Jameis.
Yes. I think the real problem, though, with Jameis, Dennis, is that maybe he's not connected to his roots. And when you don't know about your history and your past, you can get into a lot of crazy situations. So I think it's best for all of us to go back in our history and check out our family trees, if you will. And I think that's what Ben Affleck did recently.
Yeah, he went on the old show Finding Your Roots with Dr. Henry Louis Gates, who we all remember getting arrested,
yes,
breaking into his own home, apparently.
I live here! And then the president, let's have a beer summit and
yes,
work it out,
the
guys.
Famous beer summit. Man, if Obama only knew what he was starting with a beer summit, he would be this country would be out of beer by now with all the things that have been happening in the last several years.
Oh, man.
There's not enough beer to fix all the problems in this country right now.
You're like, what is this, Oktoberfest? No, just another police brutality case.
Yeah.
Message.
But this show, Finding Your Roots, it's a pretty interesting show. A lot of the famous people go on there, and they want to know what their family history is. They, you know, they have money, but they don't want to go on to Ancestry.com. They want somebody, you know, they want the exposure at the same time of being to walk through the history of their family and where their roots came from. And so Ben Affleck went on there because, you know, he wants to stay popular. So goes on the show, and it comes out and everything, and it's great. Right?
Yeah, well, he's Batman. Nothing could be
wrong. Yeah, he's Batman. He has a wonderful family history and everything. Everything's fine. Well, turns out what had happened was I think actually the subtitle for this is, and I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those pesky North Korean hackers, because one of the things that WikiLeaks posted was that Sony had some email traffic on this very episode of the show with Ben Affleck, and when it was stolen by the hackers, they released it to WikiLeaks, and apparently there was a segment of the show that did not air, and it was revealed that one of Ben Affleck's ancestors was a slave owner. Mm. And Ben Affleck and his people pretty proactively went after Dr. Gates and said, hey, can you keep that part out of the show? I really, really would not like that getting out into the public that I come from a slave owning family. So amazingly, they did leave that out of the show. They edited it out of the show. So, but now the spotlight's on Ben Affleck now, and you know how he just thought he could kind of erase this part of his history from being ever discovered, just because he's Ben Affleck.
First thing I think about this is, am I surprised? No, because let's be real, you know, we got white family listening to the show. We love all of y'all, but if you go far back enough in your lineage, you'll probably find somebody that owns somebody else, and the somebody else that was owned more times than not will probably look like me or Sierra or maybe Dennis. I don't know about Sierra. She's mad light skin though.
Yeah, I was in the house.
Hey, Kanye was right.
Just saying.
But yes, it doesn't surprise me. I can see why he would not want this out, but actually, I think this leaking does more harm than good, because if he had gone on the show, that would have been like really, like I would have been interested to see how that discussion went down, because obviously Ben Affleck, I don't think anybody thinks Ben Affleck is a racist or has those type of thoughts in his heart, but to have to confront your family's history and talk with Dr. Gates and just have that moment on camera, I think that could have been a really cool moment that would have been very enlightening for a lot of people out there, Dennis.
Yeah, and I think that's his biggest misplay in this thing, is thinking that the people would draw the wrong conclusion from it. I think, you know, maybe it's just me, but I assume that, you know, if you're a white person in this country, I just kind of assume that your ancestors were either a slave owner or helped kind of maintain the slave status of the country at one point or another. And I don't hold it against you. It's just kind of, that's the history of our country. And we all played a role in it if we've been here long enough. So if you're a family like Ben Affleck's family, and obviously have been here for more than 200 years, then you probably played some role on one side or the other of the slave industry that was prominent in this country. And, you know, unfortunately, half the people in this country, at least, are going to find themselves on the wrong end of that. So, you know, a lot of people on this show have been, you know, outed as, quote unquote, outed as descendants of slave owners, and they didn't try to hide it. And so that's the thing that kind of makes it look worse for him, is that he just wants to keep it as a family secret, you know? Yeah, and that almost makes it more suspicious, you know?
Exactly. Like, Sierra, to me, this doesn't make me look at Ben Affleck any different. Like, I mean, it'd be one thing if he was in Geely and he was just whipping Jennifer Lopez. Okay, that's a little suspect, Ben. But, you know, he hasn't shown me any tendencies that would lead me to believe that he is somebody that is racist or bigoted. So, mm-hmm. You know, does this make you feel any different about Ben?
Well, honestly, before I even heard about this, I have not been up on Ben Affleck's acting for years. I just, I don't know.
What's the last
Ben
Affleck movie you saw, Daredevil?
I want to say it was that, and it was something else, but I turned it off like halfway through.
Oh,
but
real quick, look, 2003, like you say you're having a bad April, Sierra. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck had a bad 2003. I'm talking about Daredevil, Geely, and Paycheck back to back.
Yes. Oof. And then got dumped by Jennifer Lopez.
Taco kisses for you, Ben.
You know, like, so for me, I've never been like a big fan of his, but the problem I'm having is the way he reacted to this whole thing. Like, it's, if you look at this, if we all go back and look at the history of our families, regardless if we were not, our ancestors were born in this country or not, at some point, somebody owned some damn body. Like, it, some people forget that slavery just didn't happen here in the United States. It happened in the Caribbean, happened over Africa. Like, it's happened in other places by your own ancestors keeping your own, you know, family. Like, this is a reality. So for him to react like that, the way, when I read it, he reacted like somebody just came and told him, like, look, your grandma and granddad got some people out back. I'm gonna need you to explain this. This happened way before you were born, your parents were born, their parents was born, their parents' parents was born, way before half your family even existed.
And honestly, I'm, the person I'm more disappointed with is Dr. Gates and the people at Sony and PBS and everybody who's involved in the production of the show, because they kind of, you know, they bowed down to his demands and they didn't put out an honest portrayal of the show. Like, it would have been better for them to just say, okay, well, we just won't air the episode at all, you know. But instead, they kind of kowtowed to him. And who knows what other celebrities that have gone on there before that didn't want things revealed about their families that may have more, you know, applicability to our view of them than if they had a slave-owning ancestor, you know?
See, I hear what you're saying, Dennis, but in terms of PBS, man, they can't not show the Ben Affleck episode. Do you know how many tote bags they need to sell for this Ben Affleck episode? They trying to get that money, man.
That's true. That is true.
Because PBS, much like the Kings of Sport, is sponsored by viewers and listeners just like you.
Me?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Yes, you out there listening on your laptop or on your iPod or on your phone or on your Zoom. Shout out to Dennis's brethren in the Zoom Army.
That's right.
Sierra, real quick, before we move on to another topic, do you know anybody that owns a Zoom?
No.
You do now.
Okay, that's one person so far.
I mean, he's the only person I know, too, so.
I didn't know people actually owned it.
Oh,
I always hear the name, and I just thought it was some fictitious, you know, thing that people, you know, just throw out there.
In a couple hundred years, they're going to do a Finding Your Roots show, and one of my ancestors is going to be revealed as a former Zune owner.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to believe, like, oh, I don't believe it. That's so despicable.
Like, I could have believed Dennis owned slaves more likely than I believe he bought a Zune. Hey,
my wife bought it, and it just transferred ownership to me.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So when they do the show, all the blame's going to be put on her, okay?
That's right. Yeah, she's foreign.
She's foreign. Oh, yeah, that makes it a little bit more acceptable then, because it's got sentimental value.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the story we're going with. But, you know, it wouldn't be a Sierra episode without some Black Twitter ratchetness. Sierra is one of those, quote-unquote, damn millennials Vince McMahon always talks about. And whenever she's on, we like to talk about stuff that's going on. We talked about Drumline 2 and New Beat once. We talked about... What was the thing going on? I think, did we talk about Ask Drea with you?
I want to say yeah.
Okay, and then we also talked about Empire with the drippy drop last time you were here. So what good Black Twitter / young people ratchetness you got for us?
Well, the one I keep seeing the past couple of days is this whole Kylie Jenner challenge thing. I didn't even want to ask questions what it was. I clicked on the hashtag on Twitter and I seen all these people with humongous lips. And there were some complaints about people that could not get their lips to go down. And I'm just sitting there like, what did you do? Apparently some of these people were using bottles and were sticking their lips in bottles. And then some of them was taking shot glasses and like doing suction on their lips. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know they sell lip gloss with collagen in Walmart, right? So you actually want to really just harm yourself. And some of these people had medical cases, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, all this just to make fun of Kylie Jenner?
Yeah, I think Jameis Winston also was participating. In
that. See what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I saw this the other day, and I was like, oh, man. First of all, this works on two levels. One, young people, no offense, Sierra, earmuffs. Young people, sometimes you're really stupid. And B, what is up with the Jenner / Kardashians? You got Courtney, Chloe out here still talking about she loved Lamar Odom with his crackhead self. You got Kylie Jenner with the big lips. You got Kim and Kanye. And then maybe the most crazy of all, and I'm not talking about anybody's values or how they want to live their life. It's your life. Go ahead and live it the way you want to live it. But former Olympic champion Bruce Jenner, the man that was on the Wheaties box, wants to be a lady.
I've been saying it since, I want to say, 2 seasons ago. I don't watch the Kardashian shows. I stopped watching a number of years ago because I just couldn't take the foolishness that was going on. And it was like every time I watch it, it was around the time her and Reggie Bush kept breaking up. And she was on there crying. I'm just like, girl, you will find another man. It's okay. Yeah.
Like that's how many, like, and I'm not trying to slut shame nobody, but like that's how long we've known these people and this family who's famous for being famous. Like I forgot that she was with Reggie Bush. It's like Ray J, Reggie Bush, Chris Humphries, Nick Cannon.
Really, Nick Cannon?
Yes, they dated.
It's like who didn't you date?
I just think that he's been wanting to do it, and, you know, when you see old pictures of him, like, you see this masculine man, and that's usually a problem with when it comes to going sex change. It's always what people perceive you as and what they see you as before, and then when you change, it's like, oh, my God, like, how did you go from this manly man to she, Ra? You know, like... It's a little bit different. So I think he's just finally feels comfortable to do it. The bad thing I don't like about it is the media frenzy around him with this whole situation. Like,
it's an interesting story, but at the end of the day, like he's a human being. It's like, yeah. I might not have done this decision. Dennis might not have. You might not have. But you know, it's what he feels he wants to do, and it's like, yeah, you know, go do it, Bruce.
The trip would be if he comes out looking better than the Kardashians. Like, then what is Kris Jenner going to do? Like, he comes out just like, slaying the whole females in that family. Like, like, honey, I am here. Package.
He got the ass implants and everything.
Like, he comes out there just snapping his fingers like Chi-Chi from Tu Wong Fu. Like, just Bruce? Done.
Walking down the street like, Bruce got a dog.
Like, is that
starting rap video?
that would be really trippy.
You know, he's gonna start dating Reggie Bush, and then that's a whole nother thing for Kim.
Or he's gonna be on Love and Hip Hop, and we don't realize it's Bruce, but it is Bruce. And I'm like, hold on, that looks familiar.
Be like Rich Dollars. Be like, yeah, I want y'all to meet my new girl, Brittany.
Oh, he would be the one.
But that's kind of why I like the Kardashians, because even though I think Chris and Bruce were the only ones that were white, the rest of them were Armenian. But it's like, I liked it. Or the kids, with Kylie and the other one.
Kendall.
Yeah, Kylie and Kendall were white. But for the most part, it's like, if you get the ratchet shows, we get Love and Hip Hop. We get Basketball Wives. We get all this nonsense. But I was just like, for once. You know, we get Jersey Shore and Keeping Up with the Kardashians was the only place you could see white people acting a fool.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going back to Love and Hip Hop.
And Honey Boo Boo. They got rid of Honey Boo Boo.
That poor child. I just felt so bad for that little girl.
I wanted to adopt Honey Boo Boo like that. Like I was when I was with my ex in Canada, I said on multiple occasions, half joking, but mainly serious. I was like, if there were a way to adopt, you know how like they do the commercials for the kids in Africa?
For just $1 a day?
Yeah, just $1. Like, I would want to adopt Honey Boo Boo because it's like that, like she seems like just a fun little kid to be around, but that family is a train wreck. And they got divorced, so they broke up or whatever. Like, how you going to take the one sane person in that house to do the Sugar Bear. How you gonna take the one sane, stable person and kick him to the curb?
Well, wasn't he messing with the daughter or something?
What?
Yeah, that's what I had heard too.
Yeah, the oldest daughter. He's messing with the oldest daughter.
I didn't hear that part of the story.
Like, and it wasn't the first time that it happened that she decided to, you know, kick him to the curb. It was like repeatedly happening, and then she finally decided to let him go.
Sugar Bear, why?
Hey, you can't get enough of that sugar golden curb.
Because you remember that episode, Dennis, where I was talking about this, where I talked about the breakup, and I was like, because at the time, yeah, I didn't hear any of those other details. So I thought she just kicked him to the curb. And I'm like,
well, I think it was revealed later.
Okay, because I was like, June, I mean, I ain't talking about people's physical appearance, but I would be willing to say on record on this podcast that Bruce Jenner, when he gets through with his transition, will be a more attractive woman than Mama June. So I was like, why are you kicking Sugar Bear out? But now that the truth has been revealed, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I don't know if it was the daughter that revealed it or it was a family friend that revealed it. And I remember reading it and I remember saying, like, this is something off of Jerry Springer from back in 1998. Like, really?
Well, they would have been on Springer if they weren't already on TV.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need Springer. We got a direct conduit to America.
I'm just glad that they took that off TV before they started doing that storyline. Well, that poor child.
Yeah, that is. I did not know that. So yeah, Sugar Bear, we had you in high esteem on this program, but now you're not welcome on this show anymore, Sugar Bear.
Allegedly. I don't know if it's proven or not.
I'm gonna say it's true because something just ain't right.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah, what had happened was. Much like James with the crab legs, I'm like, hold on. Why would she get rid of Sugar Bear? A, because of her physical features. B, because he got a good job. At least, you know, he went to work every day. All the time we saw him on the show, he was going to or coming back from work. And three, the real moneymaker in that family was the kid she had with Sugar Bear, with Honey Boo Boo. The other kids was from another man.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, why was she getting rid of Sugar Bear? But now... Like, okay, Sugar Bear.
Facts are adding up.
Like, the game recognized game, Sugar Bear. You're looking real unfamiliar right now.
Well, you can never trust anybody with the name Sugar Bear. Like, just, no.
I disagree. The mascot for Post Super Golden Crisp?
Yeah, he was very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That cereal was delicious.
You never heard of him coming out with stories about him touching people? Or
no, the worst he did was punch a few alligators in the mouth.
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
alligators.
See?
And at one time he like beat up a snake, but they was coming after the Golden Crisp.
Exactly. He hates reptiles and amphibians. But other than that, he's a great guy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not like he was a serial killer or anything.
No.
So you're basically telling me he was hanging out with Smokey the Bear?
Smokey, that's a whole different discussion right there.
Okay.
Like that one commercial where the dude is fixing his car and Smokey just roll up on him?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little creepy, Smokey. Like, no, you're a bear wearing pants and a hat with no shirt and shoes, and you just going to creep up on me?
Yeah, Smokey has had a mental breakdown these last few years. I don't know what happened to him.
So you are podcasting, Sierra?
Yeah, I don't do things, like, every week, just, like, when I want to. So I'm trying to get on a steady schedule. Eventually, but you know, until then, I like writing more so. You guys can follow me on Twitter at capital CIARA92189. Tweet me about wrestling, foolishness that's going on Twitter, especially during Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I need more people to converse with about the ratchetness mm-hmm. that's going on. Yeah. But.
Yeah, so for all of our Caucasian brothers and sisters that might have questions about Black Twitter and don't really feel comfortable asking people in real life, check out Sierra's Twitter feed and ask her questions. You know, you can ask her about the Kardashians or ask her what's going on with Empire or what does eat the booty like groceries really mean?
What?
Shout out to Janae. Shout out to Janae Iko.
Is that what she said?
She did. You haven't heard that song, Sierra?
What song is she talking about?
You know the song I'm talking about, right, Dennis?
No, I don't.
It's a new song with Omarion and Chris Brown. And it's it don't stand so close to me.
Don't bring supposed to be.
Yeah, because
not supposed to be.
Supposed to be right, because they're super hood. So it's like, don't bring your girl close to me, because she's gonna leave with me like she's supposed to be. And on Jhené Aiko's verse, she gets in and talks about the man that she wants. And she's like, you know, if you want to get close to me, you got to eat the booty like groceries.
Like something I would think Nicki Minaj would say. But not Jhené Aiko. Like, I thought she was done with this foolishness. Like,
oh no, it's just begun.
It just really begun. Like, girl, go back to your, you know, rubbing herbs and stuff all over your arms and stuff. Like, just please, just don't say things like that. That's just disturbing.
And then somewhere Jameis Winston is like, wonder if I can shoplift that too.
If he takes any more food.
No more crab legs, no turkey, no booty, nothing.
Nothing.
Cut off, Jameis.
Like, come on, man. You're not that hungry.
We appreciate you coming on, Sierra, as always. For the folks out there that may be hungry, not for groceries, but for more of the man we know and love as Dennis Black and Asian, Brother Dennis, let the people know where they can get in touch with you and hear more of your wonderful thoughts on all topics.
Well, it's been a pleasure being back again. And if you want to find me on Twitter, they can find me at Dennis Black and Asian. If that's too complicated, just look up at Dork Trek and you will find me that way. And we're back and recording Dork Trek on a pretty regular basis. So it's been great. Me, Bob, and Manny have been knocking them out, and they've been great. So check it out.
Yeah, I noticed, because I was listening, and then you had the brief segue, the brief tangent into G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I was just random, but it was fun.
You know, and it served its purpose. It got us back to recording, so.
But, I think I can speak for the listeners out there that listen to Dork Trek back in the day. It's like, yeah, it's I'm glad it's back. Yeah, plus, we got to keep Manny off these streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Sierra doesn't even know Manny, but she knows that we need to keep Manny off the streets.
Is he that bad?
You have no idea.
Okay, then I want to know.
Hopefully you never have any idea.
Yeah. Like, he's... Let's just say that man is hungry. He's insatiable.
Poor Manny.
No poor Manny.
Okay, poor, no poor...
Poor women that end up in the clutches of Manny.
Oh, man.
I like Manny. Manny's a stand-up guy, but if... I would never let my sister hang out with Manny one-on-one. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it'll be like a crab legs experience. You know, it's something that will change your life forever.
Oh, my
Not
gosh.
In a positive way. Not in a positive way, exactly.
See how the crab legs just sneak in there? Just...
Like, you'd be like, were you out with Manny? Well, see, what it happened was... So, well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Again, shout out to my partner in crime, Marcus, and his new wife. I hope they are having fun out there in the ocean on the cruise, and hopefully you guys make it back safe and sound and in one piece, because anybody that watched that show with Ben Affleck the other night knows what happened the last time a group of black people got on a cruise. I'm just saying. So hopefully Marcus will be back next week as we get one week closer to the big fight, the fight of the century, the fight of the millennium, the fight of the eon, Mayweather-Pacquiao. And, come back for more ratchetness and fun here on the Kings of Sport. So check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Cospod, KOS_POD. You can check me out at N8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter, Facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. And that's it. No more talking. So for Marcus Vanderberg, for Dennis Black and Asian, for the Professor KME, and for that damn millennial Sierra Reed, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been down with the King.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD, or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's bad. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.